You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In 1945, real-life war correspondents Martha Gellhorn and Virginia Cowles decided to write a play spoofing their experiences covering World War II. Their romantic comedy, which they called Love Goes to Press, was a hit in London, but was panned by New York critics when it opened on Broadway in 1947, and it closed after only four performances. Now the Mint Theater on West 43rd Street has revived this forgotten gem, and it's a hit this time around. Its run has been extended until July 29th. I'm delighted that it brings stars Heidi Armbruster and Angela Pierce, as well as the Mint's artistic director, Jonathan Bang, to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Jonathan, how did you discover this play? It was published, I guess, in 1995 with a new introduction by Martha Gellhorn. Was that where you found it?
Well, yes, it was published. Sandy Spanier, who heads the Hemingway Letters Project at Penn State University, was the person responsible for getting it published, and she worked with Gellhorn. And I was, in 2008, when we were working on Hemingway's play, The Fifth Column, which has a Gellhorn character in it, I went to Penn State, and Sandy helped me do some research, gave me access to some of the letters there. And she said, you know about the Gellhorn play, don't you? And I said, no, I don't.
Well, we should point out that Gellhorn and Hemingway were married rather briefly.
5 years.
Uh-huh. She says in her introduction to the publication that they wrote it as a joke, but they also hoped that they'd make some money from it.
Yes.
Had either of them written for the theater before?
No, and in that introduction, it's really quite funny. They were so naive. Gellhorn says they never made a penny off it. They didn't have an agent. They didn't go to any rehearsals. I think they bought their seats for opening night and sat in the balcony.
Heidi, you play Annabelle Jones, correspondent for the San Francisco World. I'm assuming she's based on Martha Gellhorn.
She is. She's Hemingway's slightly less flattering portrayal of, or excuse me, she's Gellhorn's more flattering portrayal of herself than she is in the Hemingway play, The Fifth Column, that we did a couple of years ago. So this is kind of a nice treat to have played the one and then to play this more flattering version of Martha.
Well, she also, this play has a less flattering version of Hemingway.
Of Hemingway, exactly. They're sort of match sets in that regard.
And Angela, you play Jane Mason, a correspondent for the New York Bulletin, I'm assuming based on Virginia Cowles.
Yes, I do.
So how did they go about writing a play for the first time?
I think they had this great idea that they were going to sit down and write a movie for Rosalind Russell and Katharine Hepburn, and they were going to make a ton of money and retire to the south of France. And I think that...
Were they tired of being war correspondents?
No, that's not true. They were just going to facilitate their retirement someday when they became tired of being war
They were tired of being poor.
I think.
Well, her account in the introduction of their experiences as novice playwrights is almost as funny as the play itself.
It is a lot of fun, and it's great fun to watch them sort of traverse this really kind of madcap land that they've created, which is the Poggibonsi Italian front, and this amazing story that Jane Mason has about going off and kind of stowing away in an ambulance, and then all of a sudden meeting up with her good friend Annabelle Jones, who she hasn't seen in quite some time. And they just sort of catch up like old friends, which is very much similar to their relationship, Virginia and Martha.
So and should we assume that most of the events in this play are based on real experiences?
Yeah.
But I would Some think it's safe to say it's a farcical or satirical romantic comic version of the real events. And I think what's special about the play is that you feel the ghost of Virginia Cowles and Martha Gellhorn sort of sparkling up together. Like, you can almost hear them sort of drinking gin and smoking cigarettes and laughing at their own jokes.
Teeing over in the corner.
Well, I wonder why they had so much trouble making money. They were both quite famous at the time, weren't they?
I think they were. They did definitely have reputations, but... you know, I think both of them had been accustomed to some of the creature comforts. And Martha, of course, was recently divorced from Hemingway. They divorced in 1945 after a 5-year marriage. And I think, you know, she's one of those women, I think, in a lot of ways, who was ahead of her time because she was, you know, passionate about the work that she did, and she made her own money. And I think that there's something to be said for that.
Is it true that each wrote the part based on the other, that Virginia wrote Annabelle and Martha mm-hmm. wrote Jane?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny because even in the character description in the play, Jane Mason is described as being a sort of golden-haired blonde. And then they have Annabelle as being sort of brunette. So they kind of flip-flopped. But they both fell in love, we found out later on, because Virginia Cowell's daughter actually came to see our opening night, which was a huge treat. And she had never seen the play before. And she talked about, well, they both actually fell in love with this same British officer, and Mommy ended up not liking him very much. It was kind of a blast.
So that was a part of, in a way, they were making fun of how silly they had been themselves.
Yes, exactly.
How did it come to being produced in London, Jonathan?
Well,
it wound up on the West End and became a big hit.
Cowles was clearly the engine behind all this, and she was a real go-getter, and she acting as her own agent, you know, got it into the hands of somebody who got it into the hands of somebody, and it was produced.
And why do you think it got such a cold reception on Broadway? One New York critic wrote, "If this is the way Martha Gellhorn and Virginia Cowles themselves behaved in the pursuit of their newspaper assignments, it would seem wise for the High Command to banish all women journalists from the next war."
Right.
Wow.
Well, you know, Gellhorn herself, in the introduction she wrote in 1995, speculated on why the response had been so hostile.
And the British found it so funny.
Right. And she said that's exactly the point. There was that in London, and they had lived through the Blitz. You know, they had experienced war on the first hand, and they were ready to laugh. And in the States, war was across the ocean and removed, and a very serious topic. And it was no place. It was inappropriate to serve as a backdrop for a romantic comedy. So I think that the American press was offended by the premise.
They weren't ready. Maybe.
Well, what about now? Do the laugh lines get all the laughs they should get?
We sure hope so.
Yes, they do.
And people get all the jokes?
They do. They do. There's a great reception with the audience, and we've been having such a blast getting different kinds
of
laugh
lines. I think, you know, one of the things that adds to the fun is, you know, they were writing this 40s movie, and now we have nostalgia for the 40s movie.
Right, yeah. Right.
But also, it's been pointed out that after 9/11, people started going to seeing silly plays like not that Noyce's Office isn't a brilliant play, but they wanted to have fun.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and the response to Noyce's Office in the fall of 2001 is I think how the play worked in London in 1946.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting too. You know, one of the stories from the Hemingway-Gellhorn marriage is that she scooped him on D-Day. She was the first American correspondent to land on the shores of Normandy. And in 1945, a year later, she was divorced. And then 6 months later, she and her best gal pal sat down to write this play. And I think that sort of speaks to the way humor and entertainment helps us to rewrite the stories of our lives.
Well, in this play, Joe Rogers, who I think no one doubts is based on Ernest Hemingway, is always stealing Annabelle's stories. Did that actually happen?
It totally did.
Yes.
I think my image of it, I spent a little bit of time
imagining. Well, that's a good person to be married to, somebody who's, you're more famous, you can steal her stories.
He stole her Collier's credentials. He just swiped them right out from underneath her. She scooped him on D-Day, and a year later they were divorced. So that goes to show you.
Hmm. And it's, you know, backstory there, you say no one will deny, but of course Gellhorn denied that Joe Rogers had any resemblance to Hemingway. And Sandy told me, now she wrote this afterward. Sandy wrote an afterword to the published version of the play, and Gellhorn proofed it and said, "Yeah, I want you to remove that reference." And then finally, one morning, she called Sandy and said, "Remove all references to that man."
Well, it must have been a fabulous marriage. He was a difficult person.
Yes.
I think they were both very difficult people, and I think that Gellhorn could go toe-to-toe in the difficulty world.
Well, you had to be a little tough to be a female
strong
war correspondent
at
that time.
Yeah.
In the play, the two women are ambitious and determined to get their stories, but they're also concerned about fashion and makeup.
Of course they are.
They're women. Vogue Illustrations is a quote from the play that comes sailing in looking like Vogue Illustrations. But don't get these women wrong. They get the scoop before you've even heard of them.
They don't hesitate to use their feminine wiles to get information or to arrange transport to wherever they want to go.
That's right. I think they're savvy enough to know how to use their sexuality. And I don't think that that necessarily detracts from their ambition, or certainly in the real world version of these characters, their expertise and their contribution.
They're smart.
My guests are Heidi Armbruster and Angela Pierce, who play Martha Gellhorn and Virginia Cowles in a new production of the play. Well, don't play them, but play the characters based on
yes.
them. Love Goes to Press, which was originally performed in London. And became a big hit, and then kind of bombed in on Broadway. Four performances has bombed, I would think.
I think so.
It's set in a press camp in the Italian town of Poggibonsi in February 1944. Was that a real place?
It is a real place, but I think it's a great emblem of their savvy. It's funny. Poggibonsi is a funny word, and so it's really based on the story of Mount Cassino. Mm-hmm. But they picked a town that had a funnier name.
But this was a press camp. Were there such things, a place for reporters to write
yes.
and file the stories close to the action but far enough away to mm-hmm. be relatively
mm-hmm.
safe?
Mm-hmm.
And Martha and Virginia spent some time at a similar press camp in 1943, as Jonathan was saying, right by Mount Cassino.
Now, the play is a comedy with lots of misunderstandings, missed connections, even some mistaken identities. You think one of the reasons that it was a success in London is that it, to some degree, draws upon the conventions of traditional British farce?
It does. It feels very much like a Noel Coward piece because we're also, you know, we have three acts, and that's how the passage of time was told, especially with a Noel Coward play. You had three acts, It does feel very much like that.
It also really reminds me of His Girl Friday. Like, mm-hmm. I imagine mm-hmm. them watching that movie over and over and trying to get the formula.
That's like, right. I think so.
Well, it is a romantic comedy. Annabelle struggles over whether to get back together with her unreliable ex-husband, while Jane falls in love with the gruff British press officer and then rebels when she realizes that he expects her to give up her career. Do you think that's still a problem for women who work as foreign correspondents?
I think it's still a problem for women in general. I think the idea that you can be a strong woman and have an amazing home and family and what that struggle is like, it's still very current today, even though it takes place in the 1940s and we're in period costumes and all of that. It's still kind of a present subject.
That's one of the things about Martha Gellhorn. Like, she's having this little cultural resurgence right now, and I feel in a lot of ways she was so ahead of her time, and now women are catching up to her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you know, Jonathan, when you decided to produce the show that HBO was going to do a film about Gellhorn and Hemingway?
I did, in fact. We did a reading of this play in 2008 when we had done The Fifth Column, and the reading was a big hit, and people said to me after the at the end of the night, you're going to do this play, aren't you? And I said, yes, I will when the movie comes out. And at the time, it was a different movie, but that fell apart, and I waited for this.
The play's been extended until July 29th, which is only another 10 days. Any chance of another extension?
No, we're going to be closing.
We wish. We'd love to.
We've got another show in the pipeline coming.
What's next?
It's a play called Mary Broom by Alan Monkhouse from England, 1911.
And the two of you have been in other Mint productions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something different about appearing in these plays that were once important and then got lost and now suddenly take on a whole new life?
It's, I think, always a really great conversation starter when people come see you at a play in the Mint in talking about contemporary relevance. Like, the first thing people want to say about this play, there's all these laugh lines that are these sort of misogynistic statements that the men make that are hilarious to a contemporary audience. So it's fun to sort of pick out where the relevancies are and where the differences are.
Well, you also don't have to deal with comparisons to another famous actor who did the role 5 years ago.
Yes. But it is quite interesting. I worked on a play called Soldier's Wife, which was actually kind of similar female struggle of a woman who all of a sudden found herself having her letters being published because they were so good. And what was it like to have that success? And then her husband comes home from war, and how do you be a mother and a wife with this impending success? So it was kind of very similar, which is what's so great about The Mint, is being able to do these plays that others just haven't seen, that get a chance to see them.
And you have just 10 more days to see Love Goes to Press at the Mint Theater on West 43rd Street off of 8th Avenue. My great thanks to the Mint's artistic director, Jonathan Bank, and to the two stars of this production, Heidi Armbruster and Angela Pierce, for being on our show.
Thank you so much
for
having us. Great pleasure.
Us.